And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I'm Phil Taylor with Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk to David Heap in France about what is going on in Gaza and reflections on the lack of response in Europe and North America to the Israelis' attack on Gaza, or the lack of interest in peace coming from out of these capitals. And while we're waiting to speak to David, we have an announcement or two. You got a couple there, Phil?
I have several, actually. But one of them I want to mention in particular is for next week. Joe Lombardo, an eyewitness report by U.S. anti-war leader Joe Lombardo on the recent American anti-drone delegation to Pakistan. He'll be speaking three times, Thursday the 29th at the Central Library in Mississauga, on Friday the 30th, 1 p.m., Ryerson University, the Oakham Lodge, and at 7 p.m. at OISE Room 2214. We'll read this announcement again next week, but that's to let you know that's coming up.
That's 30th.
Yeah, 29th and 30th. 29th in Mississauga and two appearances on the 30th in Toronto.
Yeah. And we're joined now, I believe, by David Heap. Are you there, sir?
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Hey, thanks for being up late for us. You, of course, have... with GazaArc.org, have been engaged with this issue of Gaza. You attempted to break the blockade, the illegal blockade against the people of the of Gaza. I've got to ask you right away. You must have a lot of sources and been looking through the news. How would you describe what's going on there, and what do you know about it?
Well, I think a very apt name was given to it right away by Independent Jewish Voices Canada when they dubbed it Pillar of War Crimes. This is yet another crime against the civilian population in flagrant violation of international law. You know, occupiers have obligations under the Geneva Convention, and this, among them is not the bombing of a civilian population, which is what's been going on now for 6 days. Mm-hmm. We're in constant contact with our friends and civil society organizations, and you know my colleagues, teachers at the universities there, and students, trade unionists, you name it, healthcare mm-hmm. workers. They're all just today. Journalists have been targeted as well as healthcare facilities. It's just across the board targeting of innocent civilians. Mm-hmm. It's quite criminal.
Yeah, you'd probably be interested. Today's Globe and Mail, the headline reads, World Works for a Ceasefire as Israel, Hamas, Trade Blows. Does it look like that?
Well, yeah, it's a pretty uneven trade, of course, and this discourse of tit-for-tat or trading or exchanging blows is really misleading media spin. I mean, Israel had made several unprovoked incursions inside Gaza, which the Palestinians actually were quite disciplined about not responding to, and they were working towards a truce until last week when Israel assassinated, an extrajudicial execution, the guy who was negotiating the truce with them. So it was clear that for their own reasons, Israeli leadership was looking to provoke a war. Well, not a war, looking to provoke a conflict so that they could engage in another massacre. I mean, the really sick part of it is it looks like a cynical electoralist ploy on the Israeli parts. It's one of the only countries in the world where going to war is good electioneering.
Yes.
They've done it before, and it seems they're trading Palestinian bodies for Israeli ballots.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the headline one today about polling. It indicated that the population was really dangerously close to something like 85-90% of Israelis endorsing the idea of an attack on Gaza.
Yeah. It is quite among Jewish Israelis. Of course, there is 20% of the population which might not be quite so quite so enthusiastic. The Palestinians of Israeli citizenship tend to see things somewhat differently, and the peace movement there. But yeah, there is overwhelming support, and the politicians there aren't stupid. They're doing it for electoral support. But the discourse of security, of course, is very misleading. This is, if anything, it's counterproductive to Israeli security. It's been demonstrated quite conclusively that every time Israel attacks, In fact, is more dangerous for their citizens. You know, in the last year, nobody in Israel was killed by a rocket from any of the rockets from Gaza. And as soon as they started firing, there were Israeli casualties. So, I mean, even a government that was concerned about the safety of its citizens wouldn't be doing this. This is a government that's interested in being, you know, tough and macho and humiliating, yet again, humiliating a captive population, which has nowhere to run. I mean, it's not like they could evacuate if they wanted to. We're talking about a territory that's you know, smaller than the city where I live, the city of London, with several times that population. It's just quite quite staggering, the the scale of the crime that's being committed.
Yeah. This is David Heap of GazaArk.org. And by the way, these sites, another thing that is really great, in my opinion, is that the internet sites and the broader community now, there are places available you can go. You don't have to go through the Globe and Mail anymore, the Toronto Star, to get pure misinformation. You actually go to sites like GazaArk.org. I want to now.
Exactly. David, people have been live streaming. I mean, I guess this is the one difference from 4 years ago during Cast Lead, this pillar of war crimes. We have many more voices out of Gaza. There are more internationals there. But lots and lots of Palestinians in Gaza are online. Of course, they lose power and lose their connection sometimes, but then they're tweeting around and getting reports among themselves. So, you know, the people we're speaking to there are getting the word out. And in fact, rather behind the time, the Canadian mainstream media is finally getting with the program, and we suddenly started getting calls today saying, hey, do you think we could speak to some Palestinian voices in Gaza? So somebody at the CBC seems to have gotten a memo finally that they can't only tell one side of the story for a full week.
And yeah, they're losing.
And it gets suspicious about it.
They, like the Israelis, are really losing credibility. And if it finally probably occurs to the editors, they better at least make a little effort. But now this is David Heap. And David, you are steeped in Canadian politics as well as the issue of Gaza. And what about, can I put it this way, is there any evidence that Canada wants peace in the Middle East? Any evidence that Obama wants peace?
It's hard to comment on Obama. It was clear the Israelis got the green light from Washington before they went ahead, because they know who their paymaster is. I mean, every one of those bombs is, if it's not made in the U.S., it's certainly paid for in the U.S. by their generous military aid to Israel. So they don't do any of this, and Obama could have stopped it before it started if he wanted. In terms of Canada, I think you have to distinguish our political elites from Canadian civil society. I think increasingly regular Canadians in the street, in our schools, in our universities, in our trade unions, in our community groups, are revolted by this. They have no taste at all for ongoing Israeli crimes against Palestinians in Gaza or Palestinians anywhere in Palestine, and the Palestinians who are in exile. The problem we have is not with Canadians or Canada. The problem we have is with the Canadian political elite, which is from the top down, completely in lockstep. I mean, you know, Harper's government and Foreign Minister Baird might as well be working for the Israelis. They literally read as last year when I and others were in prison, they just read the Israeli press release. They don't even have an independent foreign policy, and they just repeat this mantra about Israel's right to quote unquote defend itself. Though, as Chomsky has said, when you're an occupier, you're not defending yourself; you're imposing an occupation. So the whole concept of Israel defending itself is a distortion to begin with. But we really have no, unlike Europe. I mean, in Europe, there are political voices that have realized that they can speak up for human rights in the Middle East and human rights internationally for Palestinians. In Canada, we have no federal political party that's willing to take a real moral leadership on this.
Yeah, and even less within the ranks. We all recall you know, Dan Heap was an extraordinary individual. We don't even have that individuality expressed.
We have Jim Manley, who former MP, who joined the Estelle, the ship to Gaza, last month, and was in prison, the same prison I was in, along with a bunch of European MPs. But the difference is, from the beginning, a war crime. About the only politicians in Canada who actually have an independent voice in this is the lonely two members of the National Assembly in Quebec from Quebec Solidaire. Mm-hmm. So all respect to Amir Kadir and Francois David, who are calling it like it is for the rest of us. But, you know, that's the political elite in Canada, and I'm pretty well done with lobbying politicians on this. This is about changing public opinion. You know, we didn't turn the ship around in public opinion internationally on South Africa in the 80s by lobbying politicians. We changed the minds on campuses and in trade unions and classrooms and in communities, and eventually the politicians figured out that the people were leading them towards justice for South Africa. So that's the course here. The politicians are lagging behind the people.
Well, thank you, David. I think you're an excellent navigator. You put us on course.
As with the Tahrir, our course remains the conscience of humanity. We've had some setbacks, but, you know, we'll talk another time, Phil, about Gaza's arc. We're excited about this. When the ceasefire comes, we're going to continue working against the blockade. We're going to be working from the inside out, you know, sailing out from Palestine against the blockade.
Well, we do look forward to talking to you. GazaArc.org. David Heap, thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil. Good to speak to you as always.
Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye. Wow, there's a guy who, as they say, puts his money where his mouth is. He steps up. And absolutely right. I mean, don't wait for the politicians. Do something.